Good morning. My name is Adam Steinbach, as Jeff said, and I'm excited to be here today as we kind of wrap up our Money Matters series. And I really appreciate Pastor Jeff's willingness to tackle tough topics like money. And I really hope that God has been working in your life through this series. I think we've really seen some great stuff in this series. I'm excited about this topic personally because of the journey God has brought me on in this area. And really, you know, I mean, money is a topic, it's really a learning process for all of us. And when I was younger, basically my approach with money, I was pretty much a miser. And I loved to save money. I loved to watch my little pile kind of grow and grow, you know. And the problem was, as it got bigger, it got harder and harder for me to part with any of it. And I just didn't want to part with it. Now, okay, I can tell some of you guys are thinking that's kind of weird. Yeah, okay. It was a little bit odd. But later on in life, I did something that changed all of that. Okay? A little bit after college, I got married. And that was the end of hoarding money. And actually, it was really the end of hoarding money when my wife bought a house. And I say she bought the house because she toured it and fell in love with it before I ever had a chance to see it and try and talk her out of it. There's not much I could do. But in the early years of our marriage, before we became Christians, it was really an interesting time for us. And, you know, now, I mean, now we're a single income family. We have two kids. But back then, we both had good jobs, and we had no kids. And as my wife and I always, we kind of, you know, as we think back on those years, the same thing always comes up. We always say the same thing. Where did all the money go? We have no idea, because it's gone. And God has brought us on a journey. And the exciting part is that today, we have less stress in our marriage about money than ever before. And we have less money than when we started. But we have less stress about it. And I mean, we still have struggles, but God's really done a work. So as we start today, you know, I want to encourage you that God's way works. Now, I've tried the two common approaches to managing money. You know, I've saved it and I've spent it. But no matter what your approach is to managing money, I think there's something that we all have in common, that we all have in common on the issue of money. Okay? At some point, we all believe that if we just had a little bit more money, life would be better, right? I mean, if we had a little bit more money, life would be a lot better. I mean, we think that having money, a little more money, would solve a lot of our problems. I mean, okay, if it didn't solve our problems, it would at least make life a lot more enjoyable. I don't know about you, but I can think of a lot of things that having a little more money would do for me. And there's a lot of things. Okay, but while we're talking about it, let's just be honest. Okay? I mean, a little more money would be good. But a lot more would be better. Okay? A lot more would be better. How much more? That's the question. How much more would be better for you? Now, we're going to do a little exercise as we get started here today. I want you to think of a number, okay? Think of a number, and not just any number, okay? This number in your head is the number that you would have to make in annual income to be rich. How much would you have to make a year to be rich? Okay, what do you think that number is? If we're honest, okay, we've all wanted to be rich. We've all dreamt about what it would be like to have all that money, what we'd do with all that money. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Today we're trying to get at what goes on in our hearts over the issue of money. And as we examine this topic today, we're going to ask and answer two questions, okay? What's wrong with wanting to get rich? And what do we do about it? Now, as we get started, we're going to focus on that first one. What's wrong with wanting to have a lot of money? What's wrong with wanting to be rich? I mean, as long as we honor God with our finances, we give back to Him, what's the problem? Is there anything really wrong with that? There's a common biblical phrase for the desire to get rich. It's called the love of money. And what I want to do here as we get started is let's take a look quickly at a couple places where this shows up. We're going to scan a couple passages, and then we're going to pick a spot and settle in and really dig in on the topic. So let's take a look at a couple places here. Now check out Ecclesiastes 5, 10 through 12. It says this, "Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner, except to feast his eyes on them? The sleep of the laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep." That's interesting. Okay, let's keep moving. Let's take a look at another one. Hebrews 13:5 says this, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." That passage, I think, is a whole sermon right there. Let's keep going, though. Let's look at one more. Let's look in Proverbs 28, verses 20 and 22 say this, "A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. A stingy man is eager to get rich and is unaware that poverty awaits him." So here we get a picture of some things that the Bible says about finances. And at first glance, especially this last verse, doesn't seem to make much sense. And poverty waits for someone who's stingy and stores up their wealth? That's what it says. I mean, according to God's word, the pursuit of riches is the path to poverty. I mean, if your driving desire is to get rich, then you're going to end up poor. Now, you may not be consumed with a desire to get rich, but we all have some of this in us. I mean, we live in one of the most materialistic cultures ever. It's impossible not to get infected with this. Now, you may not be out trying to make millions, okay, but at some point, we've all bought the lie that life would be better if we just had a little bit more. I mean, we all have a bit of this desire to get rich. And I think that's why we need to understand, that's why we need to dig in and understand why the pursuit of riches is the path to poverty. So to examine this further, what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So if you get your Bible, turn there to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And as we go there, we're going to bring our two questions. Okay, what's wrong with wanting to get rich, and what do we do about it? Now, 1 Timothy is in the second half of the New Testament. It's a couple books before Hebrews. And in this book, the Apostle Paul is writing to his young apprentice, Timothy. And Timothy's a pastor. And Paul had sent Timothy to pastor in the wealthy city of Ephesus. And the problem in Ephesus was that there were these false teachers who were infiltrating the church there and teaching all these false doctrines. Here's what Paul writes, starting in verse 6 of chapter 6. He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs." Here we can find two answers to our first question. What's wrong with wanting to get rich? Let's take a look, especially in verse 7. It says, "We brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." The first problem with wanting to get rich is that anything you get, you're going to lose. You can pursue riches, you can make millions, but when you die, you're back to square one with nothing. I mean, even during our lives now, money can be here 1 minute and gone the next. I mean, a sudden turn in the stock market or an unexpected report back from your doctor can change your financial situation like that. So why spend your life pursuing what you're going to lose? Now, usually, we don't walk around day to day fixated on the desire to get rich. I mean, most of the time where this shows up is the feeling that, you know, gosh, if we just had certain things, it would make our life better. You know, it'd really be great if I could get that new car. That'd be like a lot better. Or the new TV. Or the bigger house, you know. Or, you know, the tickets to our season tickets to our favorite team. Or the new iPhone. But the problem in our heart is really the same. Okay, whether it's more money or more stuff that we think we need, it's really the same issue. We think we need more. But we're going to leave it all behind anyway. So why spend your life pursuing something you're going to lose? This is an important point. We're going to come back to this at the end. But I want to move on now. I want to talk about the second reason, the second point, why wanting to get rich is a problem. Okay, the pursuit of riches is a trap. The desire to get rich, the desire to always have just a little bit more, is a trap. Now, a trap is something deceitful. And in the end, it leads to destruction. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you three illusions that people with the love of money follow down the path to destruction. Okay, first of all, there's the illusion of control. The illusion of control. Okay, some people want to get rich because they want to be powerful. They want to be in control. They want to be free to do what they want to do with their life. But the illusion here is that we can never really be in control of our lives. I mean, there's factors and there's circumstances that are outside of our influence at work. God is the only sovereign being. He's the one who's really in control. Okay, all power and authority comes from God. We are dependent beings. We're never going to be in control. We're never going to be self-sufficient. We're dependent on our Heavenly Father. Now, pursuing this illusion of control, it seeks to place ourselves in God's place. Now, there's a second illusion, gratification. Now, sometimes we want to be rich so we can fulfill our desires whenever we want to. But what's the illusion with trying to satisfy an appetite? What happens when you feed an appetite? It grows. Yeah. Gratification of our desires is temporary. And the desires that you feed are going to grow. Now, this is why in the spiritual life, the way you battle sinful desires is you starve them out. You don't feed them. And if you keep following even good desires, if you keep following the gratification of its desire to the ultimate end, what you end up with is a life that's hollow and meaningless and empty. And it's a life where you can't be satisfied with anything. Now, God provides boundaries, right? He provides boundaries for the satisfaction of our desires to protect us and to protect others. But the pursuit of gratification for its own sake is an illusion. It only provides temporary fulfillment, and it always leaves us wanting more. Okay, the third illusion that people follow is security. We live in an uncertain world. You do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be great if you had a pile of money stored up so that no matter what, no matter what happened in the world, no matter how bad the economy got, you would always be okay. You could sleep well at night because you'd know that you were going to be okay. You could provide for what you needed. This, too, is an illusion. Money can't provide security. Jesus told the parable of the rich fool. And in this parable, the rich fool planned to build up these large barns to store this abundance of crops that he had and all his possessions. And here's what the rich fool said to himself. He said, I've got plenty of good things laid up for many years. Now I can take life easy. But God's response was, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get the things that you've stored up for yourself? So it is with everyone who stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. Security comes, real security, comes from being in a right relationship with God. Okay, then, no matter what happens, then you know you're going to be okay. And perhaps you noticed kind of a common thread between these three illusions of control and gratification and security. Okay, they all challenge the rightful place of God as the Lord of our life. Each of these illusions tries to put something else in God's place. And this is why the love of money is so dangerous. There's nothing else that competes for our hearts like money. This is why Jesus said in Luke 16:13, he said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. To start, we asked, what's wrong with wanting to be rich? And I asked you to define in yearly salary what that number would be to you. Okay, do you remember that number? What's your number? What would it be in yearly salary? What's your answer to that question? Do you know what the problem is with your answer to that question? Your answer always changes. It always changes. They did a survey, and they asked that same question of different groups of people. And they talked to one group of people who made less than $30,000 a year. And they asked them, okay, what would you have to make to be rich? And on average, people who made less than $30,000 said they would need to make $74,000 a year, and they would be rich. That would be rich. Well, then they asked people who made between $30,000 and $50,000 a year, what's it going to take to be rich? What do you have to make per year to be rich? You want to guess what they said? It wasn't 74. $100,000. If I made $100,000, that would be rich. You know, little more than double what they're making in both cases. Another instance, people ask the top wage earners. People are making a lot of money. The top wage earners. What does it take to be rich? What do you have to make to be rich? And the average response there was that what you need is you need about $5 million in assets. If you got $5 million in assets, that's rich. The problem with wanting to get rich, the problem with even just wanting a little bit more, is that it's a moving target. It's a moving target. You'll never get there. You're never going to be satisfied. Okay, it's kind of like trying to get to tomorrow, right? As soon as you get to tomorrow, well, it's today. And as soon as you get rich, you're not rich anymore because the definition changed. There's always something more that we don't have. And the Bible tells us that the pursuit of riches is the path to poverty. Okay, it's like this downward spiral that takes us farther and farther and farther away from God. It's clear here that the attitude of greed is a problem. Okay, the attitude of always wanting more is a problem. But we live in a society where we are bombarded by ad after ad after ad telling us that we need more. Right? I mean, there is always, there's this new thing out there, and you got to get this new thing. You need it. And this new thing, I mean, this is like the missing piece of your life. That thing that you're missing, you know, this is what's going to make it all work for you. And day after day, we're surrounded by message after message that we need more. I mean, they're all over. I mean, is there really any hope for us? I mean, to escape this trap? Is there really anything we can do? What can we do about the desire to get rich? What can we do with the desire to have more? Okay, that's our second question. And thankfully, the Bible has something to say about that. Now, what I want to do is I want to give us three quick action points, okay? Three steps that you and I can take to battle the love of money. And this is a process, okay? This is something that we're going to keep working on until we die. And we live here, we're always going to battle this. You know, it's a process. We just got to keep working at it. But there are specific things that we can do. Now, first of all, the first thing we can do is learn to be content. Learn to be content. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's take a look at verse 8. Here's what it says. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Since we're going to lose everything anyway, we should be content with food and clothing. Notice what this verse doesn't say. It doesn't say we should feel content. Okay, contentment is not a feeling. Contentment is learned. It's your choice. It takes discipline and it takes practice. And we learn to be content by focusing on what we already have, not on all the stuff that we don't have. And the problem, as we've seen, the problem with trying to get rich is that you never get there. But we learn to be content when we realize that we're already rich. Let me ask you. We're going to take an informal survey here. And I want you to please raise your hand, okay? Do you have more food at home than you can eat today? Okay, I do. How about this one? Do you have more clothes at home than you can wear? Yeah, I do. Then you're already rich. You're actually doing a lot better than millions of people. Maybe you've heard about this number. 1.1 billion. 1.1 billion is the number of people that live on less than a dollar a day. They make less than a dollar a day, 1.1 billion people. I mean, in the U.S., the average wage earner makes 97 bucks a day. This is another number. I was amazed by this number. 37,000. $37,000. If you made $37,000 last year, you are in the top 4% of the wage earners in the entire world. $37,000 makes you richer than 96% of the people in the whole world. I was surprised by that. $45,000. $45,000 is the number. If you made that number, you're in the top 1% of the richest people in the world. If you made $45,000, we're rich. We don't think so. I mean, we don't think so, but we're rich. In this passage that we have here, Paul says the standard for being content is having enough food to eat and enough clothes to wear. He didn't even say anything about having a place to sleep tonight. He didn't say anything about having heat to keep your place warm. He didn't say anything about having transportation to get you around town. He didn't say anything about having a phone to call people who live somewhere else. Paul didn't even mention having a job you can go to tomorrow. We're already rich. And we can learn to be content by practicing being thankful for what we have. I got to tell you this. I love it when my family sits down to dinner and my 3-year-old daughter volunteers to pray for the meal. It's great. What she'll do is she'll close her eyes and then, you know, she'll fold her hands and then she starts. And I love the way she starts. She always says, "To my God, thank you for," and then she's got to open her eyes. "Thank you for the cottage cheese and the peas and the grilled cheese sandwich that's so good to eat. And thank you for milk." And then my youngest daughter, she's like 1.5, she's almost 2. She'll pipe in, she'll be, "Blankie? Bear? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, God, we thank you so much for the blankie. We thank you for the bear. Amen." That's great. It's so cute. When you get home today, when you get home, stop and pray. Only open your eyes and look around you and thank God for what you see. Look around and thank God for the blessings that you see that He's given you. Okay, practicing thankfulness is how we learn to be content. Practice giving thanks this week. Now, I want to throw a note in here about giving thanks, okay? You don't have to feel guilty about being rich. Okay, that's not what this message is about today, and we pretty much established that almost all of us in here are rich. You don't have to feel guilty about being rich. Now, let's think about it, okay? You didn't control where you were born. You didn't control the country you were born in. You didn't control who your parents were. You didn't control most of the circumstances or opportunities you've had in your life. You can't take credit for being rich. You didn't control that stuff. You can't take credit for it. And if you can't take credit for it, then you shouldn't feel guilty about it either. It wasn't up to you. Hey, you don't have to feel guilty about having a nice car or a big house. I mean, if you're being a good steward, like Jeff talked about a couple weeks ago, if you're honoring God with your money, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. Okay, don't feel guilty. Feel grateful. Okay, the problem is not being rich. The problem's not being rich. The problem is always wanting to get richer. It's the heart attitude that's the issue. I mean, more money and more stuff can't be your top priority. I mean, you can be poor and struggle with the love of money. And you can be rich and struggle with the love of money. It's not about what you have, okay? It's the heart. It's your heart that matters. I mean, if you've got nice stuff, if God has blessed you with the ability to advance in your career and make good money, then thank God for it, okay? And don't let your stuff take the place of God in your life. Okay, learn to be content by giving thanks. Now, secondly, number two, trust God, not your money. In 1 Timothy, or in chapter 6, I want you to skip ahead with me. Skip ahead to verse 17. Let's see what Paul writes right there. He says, command those who are rich in this present world, that's us. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So the danger in being rich is that we are tempted to trust in our riches instead of trusting in our God. I mean, we're tempted to lean on those, on our money for things like security and gratification and to make us feel like we're in control when really we need to be leaning on our God. Okay, this is why Jesus said, it's so hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I mean, when you're rich, there's this false sense that you don't need God. There's this false sense that you can kind of take care of your life on your own. The poor person who doesn't know where their next meal is coming from doesn't have that problem. They know they're dependent on God. Back in 2002, my wife and I were in South Africa, and we were building houses with Habitat for Humanity with the Jimmy Carter Work Project, and it was a great time. And when we got there, at the build, the first morning of the build, you know, breakfast was provided. We sat down to breakfast, and my wife had grabbed like a bagel and a yogurt and like a banana, I think. And she had finished her bagel and her yogurt, and she was full. And she said, you know, does anybody want this banana? I'm full. No sooner had the words left her mouth, that thing was gone. One of the local South African volunteers grabbed that thing up. We didn't even know who took it. It was gone. They didn't know where their next meal was coming from. They didn't realize that lunch that day was going to be provided too, and so was dinner. And they didn't realize that breakfast, lunch, and dinner were going to be provided for the rest of the week. They didn't know where their next meal was coming from. And when you're poor, it's a little easier to realize how dependent on God you are. You realize you're dependent on God to provide. And when you're rich in this world, like most of us are by Paul's standard, you have to discipline yourself to trust in God. You're still just as dependent on God. I'm still just as dependent on God. But you have to force yourself to remember it. Okay, trust God, not your money. Number three, be generous with your time and money. Let's look at verse 18. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. The antidote to greed is generosity. Okay, if you struggle with the love of money, then you're going to have to give some of it away. You got to practice giving it away. Now, that may sound painful, especially if your heart's really wrapped up in this. That sounds painful. I know, I used to be a miser. But practicing giving it away is the only way to get your heart free. It's the only way. Notice what this verse says, too. Okay, it says, you also have to practice giving of your time, being rich in good deeds. Okay, giving your money and your time away frees your heart from the trap of the desire to get rich. Okay, be generous and willing to share. Because the pursuit of riches is the path to poverty. Okay, don't let your heart get wrapped up in that. Finally, let's look at the last words of this passage that we're going to look at today. Paul said to be generous because in verse 19, in this way, you will lay up for yourself treasure as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that you may take hold of the life that is truly life. You can't take it with you. But this says that you can send treasure ahead of you by giving it away. Our problem with money, our problem with the desire to get rich, is really a perspective problem. And we tend to live for today because this is what we see. And what we forget is that eternity is where we're going to spend far more time. Have you noticed as you get older that time speeds up? I mean, when you're young, a year takes forever. That's a long time. But the older you get, the faster and faster years go. They just start flying by. And that's because our lives are short. They're a mist, a vapor. We are here and we are gone. Are you using your brief life to go after something you're going to lose? Don't let yourself be deceived. Don't let yourself be deceived by the love of money. Don't spend your life to pursue something you're going to lose. And Paul tells us, eternity is the life that's truly life. So invest your life, okay, your money, your time, your life. Invest your life in something that's going to count for eternity. Okay, don't let your heart get wrapped up in something as worthless as money. Please pray with me. Father, we need your help. We need your grace to be free from the love of money. By your grace, Father, please help us to learn to be content. Please help us to trust in you and not our money. Please help us to be generous so that we can invest our lives in what really matters. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.